Please welcome Glenn.
Hello, everybody. How are you? So, seventh grade, I got a C in English, which was amazing. I couldn't believe I got a C in English. However, eighth grade was a disaster. There was this one teacher, Mrs. Edwards, and she used to bust, I think she busted me 10 times during the seventh grade and drugged me into the principal's office. I mean, one time she drugged me in there because I was saying hallelujah and throwing a ball up in the air. I thought that was totally bogus. So did the principal, but she was serious. That's a praise word to God. You don't use that word on the playground. Anyway, my nightmare come true. Guess who's my English instructor for eighth grade? Mrs. Edwards. She did not like me. I did not like her. She got itching powder in her little pencil jar, and she got sneezing powder in her Kleenex box because I did not like that woman. I did get thrown out of school for 2 days because I put a farting cushion on her seat, and nobody forgot that. High school, last year of high school, there was one girl, Holly, that remembered that, and she still was laughing about it, but anyways, that's Mrs. Edwards. We're instructed to bring in a spiral binder. I brought one in, and she said, you're going to do 10 writing projects. They're going to be one paragraph long about a real event in your life. Okay, I thought that was fairly easy. So I went ahead and wrote a story, and I wrote a story about this apparition I'd seen on a playground when I was in first grade. So I turned in my notebook, and when it was returned to me, I opened it up, and there was a big fat F circled. And I thought, wow, this must have been a really bad story. So I thought, oh, no big deal. Okay, I'll do another one. So I did another one. Got it returned. Big fat F with a circle. Every story I wrote, I got a big fat F with a circle. So around the fifth story, I went up to Mrs. Edwards after class, and I said, why? What's wrong with my stories? And she looked straight at me, and she said, you are a liar, and I don't like you. And I thought, oh, she doesn't believe any of my stories. That's what the problem was. But I just kind of forgot it. Stubborn as I was, I wanted to keep on writing. I got my next-door neighbor, who was in high school, to help me sort of edit my stories, turn them in, still an F, 10 stories. I failed the class, therefore, first year of high school, I was in remedial English. However, the great thing was there was a guy there who, his whole thing was to take remedial students and make them successful. That's what he wanted to do. I love that guy, and he was always working with us and trying to get in our heads. And one day I was in study hall, he was running the study hall, and he was watching me writing. And he walked up to me and he said, what are you doing? You're not studying. And I said, no, I'm writing. And he said, what are you writing? And I said, a story. And he looked, he said, may I see it? And he picked it up and he went through it and he saw all the F's on all the other stories. And he said, do you mind if I take this and read it? I said, sure. And he was an English major, very bright guy. So he took my stories home and read them all, handed me back the notebook, and every F was crossed out and made an A. I got an A for that remedial English class because he read my stories and he decided that they all deserved A's. Therefore, sophomore year, I was thrown into sophomore English. Of course, I only lasted one semester because I just couldn't deal with it. And anyway, I was back in Film is Lit, but that was fine. I continued writing. I didn't give it up. I continued writing after high school. Ended up in the streets. Fortunately, my mother kept all my stories, and so my books. I had about, I think, 8 books then of stories. So she kept them all, and they were all about real events that happened. So it was kind of like a reference for me. I'd go back, and I'd read about something that happened and say, wow, did that really happen? Because, I mean, I'd forgotten it. I'd written it down, but I'd forgotten it. So I didn't know my mother had all my storybooks. She had all my picture album and storybooks. And so when I got off the streets, I called my mom, and she said, come over here and pick up your stuff. And I'm like, okay. So I go over, and she had a box. In the box were all my stories, pictures, the whole 9 yards. I couldn't believe, because my mom was the type of person that threw it away. Just threw it away. You know, if it sat there too long, it was gone. So I was surprised, but I had all my stories. And then I ended up starting to go to this church, and in the church, I got married, and my wife noticed that I was writing all the time. So she got very curious. At first she thought I was working on Bible lessons, but then she really wanted to find out what I was writing about, and she got two of my journals and read them, and she went crazy, because in the journals I had talked about Birdie, a girl I knew on the streets, and, well, she was in the church also, she knew Birdie, and I talked about my ex, Diane. So she got jealous, and she took my journals to the elders. The elders read through the journals, or a couple of the elders did, and they said, okay, that's it. This is not sound Christian doctrine. This has no Bible basis. We need you to turn in all your journals. And I said, well, wait a minute. They're my journals. You can't have them. And they said, either you turn them in, or we're going to excommunicate you, and we're going to take your wife away from you. And I said, what? And they said, that's the way it is. You need to turn those in because this is not sound Christian doctrine. They need to be destroyed. And so at that time, I thought, wow, that's sort of severe. But I went ahead and I turned them in, and they destroyed them. They burned them all. So I was without journals, so I set out to rebuild my journals. And I found a bunch of books in Chinatown that were really neat for journals, so I bought five of them. And so I started rewriting all my journals, just started rewriting them from scratch. And there was a lot of material that I couldn't remember and a lot of things that I'd lost, but I just did the best I could to try to bring it all together. And I did that for a number of years. Okay. 15 years ago, I had this girlfriend, and I loved her to death. Whenever I'd come home from work, she was always, always sitting in her panties and bra on the couch, feet up on the coffee table, a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other. And she was watching a game. Every single time, she'd say, go get me a beer. And I'd go and sit down next to her, and we'd watch the game together, right? My perfect woman. I just love that woman. Except that one day I came home and she was sitting there, the television wasn't on, she had a beer and a cigarette, and stacked were all my journals that I had written. And she had this weird look on her face, and I said, honey, are you okay? And she said, you need to write a book! Did you write all this shit? And I said, well, yes, I did. She says, holy crap! She spent the whole day from when I left from work until I came home late in the evening reading. And she said, I need to write a book. She loaned me her computer. She said, you need to word process all this stuff. So I did. I word processed it. And it was a mess of word processing. I'm not kidding. It was a horrible mess. It took me 2 years to do it. And when I got done, I had 300 pages of stuff on a floppy drive, and I didn't know what to do with it, and I didn't know how to, I wanted to write a story, but I didn't know how to put it all together. You know, it just, I'm not a writer. I'm not a person that can write. So that was my major problem. And then one day I'm sitting there and I'm stressing about it, and I said, this can't happen. I'm never going to put this stuff together. And it dawned on me, one of my major vehicles of meditation was the island. What I would do is meditate and think about the island, and I build this island in my mind, the trees, how it looked, the shape of the island, the fact that it had this chimney-like rock with a small plateau with a spring on top covered with lush vegetation. So I build this island, right? And it dawned on me, you're on the island. You're thinking about your life. You're trying to make your, you know, you're trying to survive on the island. And as you're thinking about your life, you're, you know, that's where all the stories go into. So I plugged them all into there. So I was on this island, trapped on this island, and I began to reminisce about my entire life. And so it's sort of mixed up, and, you know, sometimes there's 20 years difference between one story and another, but it works out because I'm reminiscing. I'm just thinking about what had happened in my life. And then another person shows up. That was a problem. It's a woman, every man's dream, right? A beautiful woman on a desert island. So I had to create her character. But it all worked out because I had all these stories from my girlfriends. It was beautiful. All these stories from my girlfriends. So what I did was I just took them and edited and changed names. I changed names on all my characters. And I just plugged it into her, and she became a real character with all these like Frankenstein stories from all my other girlfriends, and it worked out perfect. So I finally finished it, Still working on it. What? 569 pages. Now I have to find an editor. It's called The Island. Now I have to find, I actually started on this, the second part of this story. Not quite as true, but I've got the first two paragraphs done, so now I got another fire in my belly.